Hello and welcome to the IABC Ottawa podcast, The Voice. Ottawa is one of the International Association of Business Communicators' largest chapters in the world, and we are pleased to bring you a podcast that covers everything from marketing, strategy, social media, crisis comms, public affairs, and whatever else is relevant to communicators. I'm your host, Sherry Ask. Hello and welcome to episode 141 of The Voice podcast. This month, we are talking about something that I have never done an episode on in the more than 3 years now that I have been hosting this show. In this episode, we are talking about podcasting and podcasting best practices. And our guest this month is none other than a former host of IABC Ottawa's The Voice, so you may know her. Sherry Lynn Starkey is a social media specialist and podcaster. She hosted The Voice in 2013 and 2014, and she has also hosted, produced, and marketed enough podcasts to make her a true industry expert. We talk about the do's and don'ts of podcasting, how to bring value to your podcast, shows worth listening to, and so much more. Plus, stick around after the interview because the lightning round is back this month with IABC Ottawa volunteer and this show's assistant producer, Leslie Quintal. And with that, let's get into the interview. And joining me now is Sherry Lynn Starkey, social media specialist and podcaster, as well as a former host of IABC Ottawa's The Voice podcast. Sherry Lynn, thank you so much for joining us and welcome back, I guess. Welcome back to The Voice.
So happy to be here, Sherry.
So to start, why don't you tell people who maybe aren't familiar what your history is with the podcasting as a format? How did you get into it? What shows have you worked on? Whatever you think is relevant.
Okay, well, I've been involved with podcasting since like 2006, maybe. I first kind of discovered the medium in 2005 and started listening to podcasts. And I was very, very excited about this powerful new medium. And, you know, that was in the very early days of blogging when as communicators, we were just trying to figure out how to use these new tools. So I was an early adopter for podcasting for sure. And I have been involved in as guest and host and producing podcasts since the very beginning. So there's dozens of shows I've been involved with, I would say. Right now, I have recently launched a new podcast myself, which is a passion project. It's not a business project. It's called 50 Women Over 50. I am also the host of a podcast right now called Being Human is Good for Business. That's one that I produce on behalf of a client. I have been involved in the past with the IABC Ottawa podcast, as you know, and with Inside PR, which was a podcast produced by the agency I used to be a president of in Ottawa. And I've, guested on other PR podcasts and stuff over the years. I just think it's an incredibly powerful medium.
Wow, you've done a lot of shows. Thank you for that recap. I think that really puts it into perspective, especially because you've done different roles on different shows. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on where the industry is at right now? I feel like there was a few years ago, people were saying, oh, we're at peak podcast. Everybody has a podcast. Do you think we're overpolluted right now? Or do you still think there's untapped audiences? Where do you think we're at?
Yeah, I think there's the market's still full of potential. I feel like as professional communicators, we're only just starting to tap the true power of podcasting. I'm super excited for it. I think it's incredible opportunity for brands and companies that want to get into podcasting. When you think about it, right now, there's 2.4 million podcasts being published regularly. Now, when you measure that up against Facebook pages, for example, there's 200 million Facebook pages out there. So think about your competitive advantage of competing against, a couple of million versus a couple hundred million. So no, there's nothing to stop us in using social media. I mean, in using podcasting for corporate communications. It's full of potential and we're only just starting to get it.
And on the topic of, I guess, potential, when would you recommend podcasting be part of a comm strategy?
So what I love about podcasts as part of a communication strategy is it is such a powerful, useful, economic, and easy to produce content engine. So if you can get your leadership to agree to a regular podcast, you know that you're going to have like a whole funnel full of content that you can use across all different kinds of platforms, all different kinds of communications. It's really an effective anchor piece.
Is there a time, though, where you might recommend to a client that they shouldn't get into podcasting, that it may not be the right choice for them?
Well, yeah, there. You have to have someone who is going to be dedicated to doing it regularly, because you can't publish podcasts ad hoc and hope to build an audience. It really, you have to have a pretty regular cadence to build your audience. And the other thing is, if it's someone that doesn't have, you know, the idea of thought leadership isn't relevant to their business, although, you know, I would question, you could always be a thought leader in some aspect of your business. But, you know, if it's something that they're not comfortable with, and there's, you know, it's a mantle that they don't want to take on and being a thought leader, maybe there's different things that they could be doing other than podcasting.
So say you've got a thought leader and you think that you're ready to start. From your experience, Sherrilyn, what would be like your starting advice?
My starting advice would be to make a commitment to a forward calendar of podcasts at a regular cadence. So they could be weekly, they could be monthly, they could be, you know, maybe sitting adjacent to other things that are in your forward marketing communications calendar, for example, events or something else that you're doing. You can kind of have your podcast adjacent to it. So the first thing to do is kind of like look forward several months into the future and make the commitment to set this time and resources aside for this podcast.
And in your opinion, what makes a good podcast enticing or attractive? What is it about it that will draw people in?
Well, it's just, as in anything in content marketing, you have to give your audience some value. Now, what kind of value you want to give them, there's a whole range of different things that an audience will value in a podcast. So it could be news, it could be information, it could be how-to, top tips, kind of practical insight. It could be entertainment. I mean, comedy podcasts are the number one podcast format on the internet because people like to be entertained, right? So you need to be able to provide some valuable content that will your audience will take away and think, I learned from this, I find it useful, I was entertained by it. You know, having a constant product push, talking about your company or, you know, what you do that is so cool, you know, just talking about yourself and being inwardly focused, that's never going to make a good podcast. Nobody wants to listen to that but your mom, really.
That's a very, very good point. So when we're talking about adding value for your new podcast, 50 Women Over 50, what led you to this one, or how did you work through those steps?
Okay, well, this is really a fun project. So I've kind of had in the back of my mind for a couple of years that I would like to do a podcast that is kind of not related to my business. And that is because, you know, since the pandemic hit, pretty much all I've done is stay at home and work. And I kind of missed hanging out with my girlies, right? And talking to people who are my peers about, you know, life in general, because we all went home and we have very small bubbles. And I feel now that things are opening up, people are still kind of clinging to their bubbles. So I thought that now might be a great time to launch a podcast where women my age talk to, you know, their peers about the issues that impact us in our fifth decade. And I have to say, I had no idea, but I am delighted with the reaction. Like, there is a strong thirst out there for this kind of community. I'm hearing it on a daily basis where women are coming forward saying, thank God, I'm so happy I found your podcast. It's like sitting down with my girlfriends and having a cup of tea and a good conversation. So that's kind of what my vibe was to get it going. And the reason why I was able to do it now is because I just had an opportunity open up in my time in terms of client work. And I was thinking, I have a little bit of extra time. I could easily fill it up with more work, but I kind of want to do something that's fun and different. So I thought, let's do it. And so I did it.
I love the idea of a podcast creating a community, because I think we see that often around, like, I know you mentioned comedy podcasts, but they can almost have, well, they do have their own followings. Was that what you set out to do with 50 Women over 50, or did it happen organically?
So it happened organically. I mean, I guess in the back of my mind, I'd hoped something like that would happen. But really, from a perfectly selfish point of view, I wanted an excuse to contact people and have a conversation with them. And it just, you know, it could be kind of awkward calling up someone you haven't talked to or seen in 3 years and saying, hey, let's get together and talk about life. So I thought, if I'm going to be doing this, let's make it into a podcast and kind of like share the learning and the conversation a little bit further than the two people that are involved in it. And like I said, I was pleasantly surprised that that my new podcast has been so welcomed by people in the community.
Is there anything new that you learned launching this one? And I know that you've worked on so many shows that, but were there any learning curves to this one, or I guess maybe even surprises?
I think that the technology behind podcasting is continually evolving. And the last client podcast that I worked on, I discovered a new tool, an editing tool called Descript. And I had been using that for kind of transcripts and stuff, but they've actually introduced like all kinds of really smart features for podcasters. And so I'm actually producing this whole podcast 100% through the Descript platform now, which kind of really condenses my production time. And the quality of the output is still as high as, you know, using more traditional podcast software. And it's easy to use and intuitive. So I think it's even going to make podcasting even more accessible to communicators. So that's called Descript. And I am a bona fide fangirl of this software.
That's wonderful. I will have to check that out. I'm glad you mentioned the technical part, because I think that can be maybe a challenge or an obstacle for some businesses or individuals trying to start podcasts. What would your recommendation be to someone who is new and starting out? Would it be to hire a consultant? Would it be to do it themselves and keep it simple? Do you have any tips for that?
Well, I think my answer to that is kind of like, it's almost like when you're going out shopping to buy a little black dress. You know, you can get a little black dress at Giant Tiger that looks great and feels nice to wear, but it's a Giant Tiger dress. Or, you know, you can go out and buy Dior little black dress, which is a different kind of investment and, you know, still looks great on you and you still feel great. So, you know, there's a whole range of things that you can do. You can, with very little experience, sit down and produce a podcast. There's a big learning curve and you'll learn as you go, which is, you know, kind of how I learned. But, you know, there are lots of people out there that are like independent consultants, PR agencies, podcast specialist agencies. I'm seeing a real increase in people who are setting themselves up as podcast coaching services, that kind of thing. So there's lots of help out there for people that want it. And it's you can get it at a broad range of price points as well.
I love that analogy of going, it's like going out to shop for a little black dress. But I agree with it. I think it really is like podcasting can be as complicated or as easy as you choose to make it, depending on what you want to do. So yes. I can relate to that. From your experience, is there any big podcasting faux pas, or do you have a podcasting pet peeve that you've picked up on over the years that you would maybe advise people against?
I've got two that are kind of related. So one is, and this is like purely as an audience person, not a podcaster, as being in the audience of podcasts. One is when it's all about buy my stuff or I'm so smart and look at me that's such a turnoff. Nobody wants to hear that. Nobody's going to tune in for a second episode if that's what you're doing in your podcast. And then the other thing is, which is closely related, and this is, I'm actually just seeing a big increase in this, and I'm sure you have too, Sherry, where advertisers and sponsors have discovered the power of podcasting. And so there's a lot of money sloshing around right now for podcasters, independent podcasters, as well as the ones that belong to the bigger syndicates. And so we're getting podcasters that, you know, maybe we're loyal audience members and we know them and we love them and we've been listening to their show for a year. And all of a sudden, they're on there every week telling us, you know, I'm so glad I discovered this, you know, zippy bag. I don't know how I zipped up my sandwiches before now, because this, like really, we don't want, you know, false testimonials or paid for testimonials in advertising is disingenuous at best and boring as hell at worst. So I hope that's something that's going to dissipate very quickly.
Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about. And we do. I think there are a lot of I've noticed as well more ads in general on podcasts, like ads in podcasts for other podcasts.
The major distribution platforms like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Simplecast, they have all cottoned on to this as a very good revenue stream. So they've developed programmatic advertising where they will automatic, you know, you can create your own ad in your own home studio and they will insert it into podcasts across their network. And so they're making bank from it. And the barrier for entry for podcasters is very low. So yeah, that's why you're seeing that.
Lastly, Sherry Lynn, what are some of your favorite podcasts? Or is there one right now that you think is just doing really well?
So, well, my favorites in terms of marketing and communications, there's one out there called One Pitch, and this is like coffee with a journalist. And I love that. I listen to this one religiously, where the interviewer talks to reporters about their relationship with PR people. They, you know, talk about their pet peeves with pitches, and, you know, so there's something for every PR person on the planet to learn from that podcast. And she gets really high profile reporters on there too. My first love and still one of my best loves is the For Immediate Release podcast with Neville Hobson and Shell Holtz, who are both my friends, and I've been on their show a lot. And I catch up with Shell at every IABC World Conference because he's always a speaker and does it. You know, puts on a great session at all our world conferences. Another great one is Marketing Over Coffee. You know, some really smart people talking about digital marketing. And one that a lot of people don't know about, but I really love, it's called the Marketing Book Podcast. And the guy does a review of a marketing book every week. Saves you tons of time in reading. Reading all these marketing books and kind of keeps you on top of the latest thinking. And of course, you can always add that book to your Audible list if you from the review you feel like you want to take a little bit more time in it. So those are the work ones. But I also like listen to podcasts for leisure. I really, really like the one called Criminal with Phoebe Judge is the host there. She kind of looks at it's not a true crime podcast. She just looks at criminality through the ages and all different kinds of criminality. It's a really interesting one. She has another show called This Is Love. She kind of does the same thing there about different kinds of love. There's one called A Slight Change of Plans, which is a Pushkin podcast, and it just talks about people who have had a profound change in their life and how they adapted to it, and it's very enlightening. And of course, one of my old favorites has been around since the dawn of podcasts. It's called Stuff You Should Know, where a couple of guys just get together over a cup of coffee and talk about stuff that we should know. Always learn something interesting from those two guys.
Sherry Lynn, was there anything else that I should ask or anything else you'd like to add?
I would just say, please listen to my new podcast, 50 Women Over 50, and share it with your friends. And let's, you know, help me build a big community of wise women over 50. I would love your help in doing that.
Sherry Lynn, thank you so much for joining me, and best of luck with 50 Women Over 50 and any other podcasting ventures that you might be involved in over the next few years.
Thank you so much, Sherry. Thanks for the opportunity.
And that was Sherry Lynn Starkey, a social media specialist and podcaster. You can find Sherry Lynn and her latest podcast, 50 Women Over 50, by visiting sherrylynnstarkey.com.
And now it's time for the lightning round. This is the part of the show where we feature an IABC Ottawa member or volunteer and ask them to answer a set of rapid fire questions about their career interests, life interests, all of that fun stuff. And this month, I am thrilled to introduce you to Leslie Quintal, who was recently Volunteer of the Month. Leslie, thank you so much for joining me and welcome to The Voice.
Thank you so much, Sherry. It's a pleasure to be here.
And you were recently Volunteer of the Month. Can you tell listeners a bit about some of the volunteer work that you've been doing recently?
Absolutely. So I'm the assistant producer for this very podcast that you're listening to now. It's really cool. So I have a hand in procuring some of the guests that we speak to. I have a hand in doing some of the social media content that goes out about the podcast. And I feel very blessed to be a little bit of an insider. So I get like sneak peeks into what's coming next.
And I feel very blessed to have you as a support. For people that don't know, I was always sort of doing this on my own, and Leslie has been outstanding to work with. So she's very much appreciated for the IABC network.
No, thank you.
So, Leslie, are you ready for this month's questions?
Yes, I am. Fire away.
Okay. First question. Since this episode is about podcasting, what is one podcast that you love and why? Besides this one, of course.
Stuff You Should Know. So I am terrible at remembering exactly who is the host of that podcast, but it's a super, super interesting podcast about all of the things, well, literally the stuff that you should know. They have topics about like some of the most random things that are out there. So like rock, paper, scissors, decider of things. So where did it come to be? Why it's cool and how people use it. They talk about things like jaywalking. They talk about things like fortune cookies. Like it's super random, but they're stupid informative. So they're a really fun kind of mindless thing to listen to, especially while I'm working, because I work predominantly from home. So it's nice to have a little bit of interesting content going on in the background as I'm typing away.
For question two on the same topic, if you hosted your own podcast, what would it be about?
I think it would be about some of the communications terms that people use going in as a newbie to the comms world. I find like there's things that people say and you're just like, what does that mean? So for example, something that I run into often is high profile. So what does it mean when they're telling you, give me something that's high profile? I think I would probably do a podcast about those types of terminology.
Yes. And could you include on that in that podcast, maybe like all of the acronyms related to communications and marketing? I feel like that's another topic. Or maybe that's a Stuff You Should Know episode. I'm not sure, but
maybe that is a Stuff You Should Know episode. But I would definitely include it in my podcast, too. I think that some of those things would come up just because we live in a world full of acronyms and you really can't ever hear about them enough.
Leslie, what do you appreciate the most about the IABC community?
How welcoming it is. So IABC really is a very tight-knit group of individuals, and you are welcomed with open arms like a family. So they're all, everybody that's a part of the community is open-minded and welcoming and honestly, just like you have entered into a family. And I think that that's really cool.
And what is one thing that you appreciate the most in managers or colleagues?
Humility and being human and vulnerable.
Do you have an example of a time where a manager was or so like something that stands out?
Yeah. So when I say like being human, for example, I have these like 9 a.m. touch points with my boss every morning. And we show up in our pajamas most days. Hair is a mess and coffee in hand. But because we work from home, like it's really nice to just kind of meet one-on-one, touch base, talk about what we're going to do for the day, where they need to be, and kind of what's coming next. And it takes the pressure off knowing that there's another human on the other side of that camera.
Yeah, absolutely. And Leslie, you're working in communications, but what would your dream job be if you weren't working in communications?
I actually always wanted to be a barn manager for horses, like event horses, eventing with equestrians and that kind of thing. So probably that.
That is really cool. Like competitively or just like managing the barn, like racing yourself?
A little bit of all of the above. So I would do an eventing barn, not necessarily racing, not really into that sort of culture, but I am into the culture of like, so there's a bunch of different classes of what you can do for events. So there's something called hunter jumper, which is like a very specific style of jumping with horses. And they are like low jumps, but it's more about how you look and your form and how the horse looks and the different strides that they take, as opposed to racing where it's about the horse's condition and where they're going, just because I'm not a huge fan of that sort of culture, but I really like all the different types of events. So yeah, all of the above.
Leslie, that is so cool. Thank you so much for joining me and for sharing your thoughts on the lightning round. It's been a pleasure.
It's been absolutely lovely. Thank you so much for having me, Sherry.
And that is it for this episode of IABC Ottawa's The Voice. Thank you so much for listening. The Voice podcast is produced by myself, Sherry Ask, and Leslie Quintle. If you like this episode, please share it, subscribe, and send us a review or feedback. You can reach IABC Ottawa on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at IABC Ottawa, as well as on LinkedIn. You can check out our website, ottawa.iabc.com, for info on all IABC Ottawa networking, professional development events, future meetups, and more. And while you are there, click on Jobline to find your next opportunity or the right communications professional to join your team. I'm your host, Sherry Ask, and until next time, let the music play.